Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Good morning and welcome to worship here at Emmanuel as we celebrate Easter Sunday and the glorious victory our Lord and Savior has won for us. We begin a new sermon series that's going to take us in the next few weeks called The Resurrection Reality, seeing the peace and the joy that Christ's resurrection gives to us here in this life as we live in this sinful world. Order of service is printed out for your worship folder that you received as you came. It will also be projected up on the screen, so please follow along. We join in singing our opening hymn, hymn number 438, Jesus Christ is Risen Today. Please rise. Alleluia. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
This is the day the Lord has made.
We will rejoice and be glad in it.
I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation.
Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song.
I will not die but live, and will proclaim what the Lord has done.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
The Lord's right hand is majestic in power. The Lord's right hand has shattered the enemy.
Death has been swallowed up in victory.
The Lord will not abandon me to the grave. He has made known to me the path of life.
Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed.
Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting?
Thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end he will stand upon the earth.
The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever.
Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise.
Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Almighty God, by the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, you conquered death and opened the gate to eternal life. Grant that we, who have been raised with him through baptism, may walk in newness of life and ever rejoice in the hope of sharing his glory. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be dominion and praise now and forever. Please be seated. Our first lesson is from Job chapter 19. Job knew trouble. He knew hardship. He had everything taken away from him in a matter of moments. Even his health was taken from him. But Job held on to that resurrection comfort of knowing that he would see his Lord and Savior with his own eyes. Oh, that my words were recorded, that they were written on a scroll, that they were inscribed with an iron tool on lead, or engraved in rock forever. I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end he will stand on the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. I myself will see him with my own eyes, I and not another, how my heart yearns within me. The word of the Lord. Our second lesson comes to us from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In this great resurrection chapter of the Bible, we see how sin and death came through Adam, but Christ, he came to suffer for us, to redeem us from sin. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in turn, Christ, the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him. Then the end will come, when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father, after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise for the gospel. The Holy Gospel appointed for this Easter festival service comes to us from the Gospel according to St. Mark chapter 16. These words will also be the basis for the sermon. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll a stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. The choir will continue with their anthem, and following that, we'll sing our hymn of the day, 441, "I Know That My Redeemer Lives."
Hallelujah.
Amen. It is the kind of fear that you can feel. And I honestly would be very surprised if you haven't at one time, or if you won't at some time, feel it for yourself. Statistically speaking, it's becoming more and more common in our country and in our world. Doctors seem to diagnose 1 in 5 people in our country with what they call clinical anxiety. So your chances of feeling this kind of fear are at least 20%, but I think they're actually a lot higher than that. It turns out that only half of people who have clinical anxiety tend to report it. So if you think that 1 in 5 people are likely to get it, you might as well double that number. And sooner or later, you're at 50% chance of feeling this kind of fear. But that's just the chronic kind. And we all know that sometimes fear sneaks up on us when we least expect it. I'm guessing it's the kind of fear that you have felt in the middle of the night when you just can't get to sleep. There's something in your mind, and it keeps rolling around back and forth, causing you to toss and turn because you know that tomorrow is coming. It's the kind of fear that you feel in your body when the alarm rings in the morning and you just can't move because you don't want to get out of bed. Not because you're tired, but because you're terrified of what you're going to have to do that particular day. Maybe it's something you've circled on your calendar and you know that that day has finally arrived. Maybe it's the realization that now you have to go and have a conversation with someone. And you feel it in your body and in your mind and in your heart. In fact, if you've ever suffered the kind of fear that paralyzes you, you're not alone. There's a clinical term for what they call anxiety-induced paralysis. You can look it up on a whole bunch of medical websites. It's a kind of anxiety that physically makes a person unable to see things clearly or think or move. And I imagine that all three of those women felt it on that particular Sunday morning. The gospel writers all tell us that they were up early that morning, but if you can only imagine the amount of motivation that it must have taken to get them out of the door that day, come on, we gotta get going. You think it's hard getting your kids going on Easter Sunday? Imagine the dread in their hearts. Imagine the questions in their minds. How much work did Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus get done? Do we really have enough of the perfumes to anoint the body? And what if? Oh, the terrible question. What if? What if? What if we can't deal with what we see? Because anytime we encounter death, it is something that affects us deeply. But this kind of death, his body had been thrashed beyond recognition. What if we can't handle what we find? Imagine the kind of motivation that they had to offer to each other. Well, let's just get moving. Let's get out the door. Let's get down the road. Maybe if we can make it halfway there to the garden, then we can maybe take a rest on the way. And maybe while they were there resting by the side of the road, suddenly it dawned on one of them. Oh no. We forgot about the stone. And the fear must have paralyzed them. We don't know how to overcome the obstacle that's in front of us. We're locked up in our grief and our helplessness. Only to see those fears soon taken away.
They arrived that morning in the garden just as the sun was coming up, and lo and behold, the stone wasn't even there. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, brought spices so that they might go and anoint Jesus' body. And very early on that first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb. They asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away that's at the entrance to the tomb?" But as they entered and saw, the stone was already gone. And that's where their anxiety would have gone from a 10 out of 10 to a million out of 10. Because they saw something in the tomb that wasn't supposed to be there. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. Well, no kidding. 9 times out of 10, I think we consider angels to be something cute and cuddly, but this angel dressed in white was far from cute or cuddly. This was a messenger of the Almighty God. The other gospel writers tell us that his face was shining like the sun. They were encountering something that they had never quite seen before. But were they alarmed? Not for long. As Christians, we encounter at times paralyzing fear. As a Christian church, we're sometimes afraid of what might happen next in our journey of faith. But the angel solves all of that. And to give you the cure for anxiety-based paralysis, he gives you a simple message which you've heard many times before. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Now, I've got a couple of questions for Mark and his account of the gospel. The first of the burning questions that I'd like to answer with you today is, why does Mark include an angel in the story? What was the angel doing there in the first place? Mark doesn't give us the details that the other gospel writers do. And we start adding up all the things that God had in mind for his angels on that particular morning, and they had a very busy day, just like many of us have had this morning. Those angels had a lot to do on Easter Sunday. The first stage was to get the stone out of the way, and so they did. The second thing God wanted those angels to do was chase off the Roman guards at the tomb, and so they did. The third thing that he wanted his angels to do was to look after the filthy laundry that had wrapped up Jesus' body, and so they did. The other gospel writers all show us why the angels were there. But you know as well as I do that none of them needed to be there. Jesus didn't need some angel to help him get the stone out of the way. God didn't need to send one of his warriors to chase off the Roman guards. He did that all by himself. Jesus did not need the angels to help unwrap him from the grave clothes that Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea had wrapped him in. God was powerful enough to do it all himself. So, Mark, why is there an angel there? Because he's got a story to tell. He's got a simple truth to relate to those who would come to grieve the Lord Jesus. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here." The angel was there to answer one burning question that the women were obviously asking themselves. What if? Winston Churchill once famously said that the terrible ifs tend to accumulate. And maybe so often in our lives, that's what we find at the root of all our fear and anxiety. What if? What if, the women must have thought, we can't get the stone out of the way? What if the perfumes that we've brought aren't enough for us to do the job properly? What if we can't stomach what we find there? You see how the questions are getting deeper? Let's keep going. What if? What if it's all over? What if the story of Jesus ends here? Of all the promises that he had given us during our lives of following him, Of all the things he said we could look forward to, what if none of them are real? What if God can't keep his promise? What if Jesus is still there? Ladies, I gotta tell you, you're carrying an awful lot of ifs around right now. I need you to set those ifs aside, because if you look carefully, there isn't actually a dead body in the tomb right now. You're looking to the answer of your ifs, and you think you're going to find them here, but God has smashed your ifs to pieces. He has conquered your fears in the life of his Son. I would not be surprised if in the moment they locked eyes with the angel, all the expensive perfumes that they were trying to hang on to suddenly slipped out of their grasps and shattered into 1,000 pieces on the stone pavement. Do you know that that's what an empty tomb does to your fear, Christian? That's what an empty tomb does to all of your questions that come down to that basic question. What if God can't keep his promises? What if God can't solve what I'm dealing with in my life right now? What if God can't solve what I'm dealing with in my marriage right now, or in my family right now? What if God can't deal with the sickness that I've got right now? What if God can't deal with the death that I'm dealing with right now? Guess what, Christian? You have a God that raises the dead. And that God can take care of all of those questions in the story of his Son. But I think there's one more burning question that we have to get to before Easter means anything to us. Mark shows us what that question's all about and what the angel says next. Go now and tell his disciples and Peter, he's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. Why go see Peter? You have to remember that of all the disciples that needed to know that Jesus was alive, it seems God and the angels wanted Peter to know first that Jesus was alive. And imagine the response of the women. Peter is going to be a little bit of a problem to find. Because the last 72 hours for Peter have been kind of a catastrophe. I'm not sure that I want to go tell Simon Peter that Jesus is alive and looking for him, because the last time Peter saw Jesus, it was pretty ugly. Not just because his Savior Jesus was being tortured, because Peter made those ugly denials about him. Can you imagine the kind of wreck that the apostles were in the days after Jesus' crucifixion? For all of the ways that they had deserted him, for all of the ways that they had failed him. What about this guilt that we carry around in our hearts? What about this knowledge of all the ways that we fall short of loving God's love for us? What is God going to do about my past? Notice how Easter Sunday has a way of moving us forward from our past and into our future. You notice how Easter Sunday has a way of moving us away from our fears and towards the knowledge of our forgiveness. Tell Peter and the disciples that Jesus is out there looking for them, because Jesus loves them and he came back from the dead for them. What kind of guilt are you carrying around these days? What knowledge of your past can you never quite seem to shake? What are the thoughts and the fears that keep you up at night, not because of what's going on out there, but because of all the messy stuff that's gone on in here? What if Easter Sunday brings us back to the truth that you have a God who has redeemed you? Job knew it. Job saw his messed up life, and through it all, he said, I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the end, I will see him with my own eyes. You have a forgiven future. That's what the Easter message guarantees. One last burning question. Now what? Go and say it, the Easter angel says. We kind of have a problem with Mark's account that he leaves out a couple of details that we really wish he would have included. Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. I thought the Easter angel was helping them get away from their fears. Here they are still very bewildered and afraid. So what does Mark leave out? The fact that they did tell somebody. They didn't tell anybody else, Mark reminds us, but they sure did tell Peter, because Peter and John came running to the tomb. They told the other disciples who came running to the tomb, and those disciples saw the truth. And wouldn't you know it, they wrote the truth down so that you can see it, so that you can share it. The mission of the church is an ambitious thing. To tell this story to every human being on earth is a bewildering thought. But to share this message with people is also an absolute joy. So go be angels. Carry the Easter message and share it with your families. Share it with your friends. Share it with yourself when you come to this place again and again. The Easter message moves us forward, past our fears, toward our future, and through our mission. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which goes beyond our understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds through faith in Christ Jesus. On this Easter morning, let us join to confess our faith with Christians around the world in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Congregation may be seated. Following the prayer of the church, we have an opportunity to gather an offering. As those offering plates go by, take a look for a connection card. You'll find a pad of these in the seat back in front of you. If you're visiting us this morning, we're so glad to have you. Fill out the gold-bordered side. If you're a member of our congregation, fill out the black-bordered side. Place it in an offering plate or hand one to the pastors on your way out of worship. We'll continue then with the prayer of the church.
Lord of life, fill our hearts with joy this Easter day, for you have risen and conquered the grave. Imprint the message of victory on our hearts and implant it in our minds. Through the good news of your resurrection, renew our hope and receive our faith. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
By baptizing us into your name, you have connected us to your death and rising. You have put our sin to death and have given us a new life. Enable us each day to think of ourselves as dead to sin and alive to you, so that we may walk in newness of life in all we do. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
In this fallen world, death and sorrow surround us. Touch the hearts of those who grieve the loss of a Christian they love. Direct their eyes to your empty tomb, and ease their pain by reminding them that their loved ones will one day rise again. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord, many people grieve without hope. Let the message of resurrection reach them and awaken faith in their hearts. Use us as your instruments to bring the word of life to their souls and the message of hope to their hearts. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Stay by the side of all who are suffering. In your wise mercy, heal those who are sick, receiving treatment for illness, recovering from illness, or surgery, or hurt any body or mind. Dear Lord, we know that our Redeemer lives. On Good Friday, you suffered in our place so that the victory might be ours. You consoled the women at the tomb with the good news that you rose just as you promised you would. Knowing these truths, we do not grieve like the world grieves. We ask for your comfort and strength to be upon the family of Glenn Ponco, whom you took to your side in heaven. Let the reality of the resurrection fill their hearts with the joy of a blessed reunion in heaven. Dear Lord, remind them that your victory over death is a fact, and comfort them with your promise to raise them and give them and all believers new glorified bodies like yours. Lord, in your mercy,
hear
us, Lord, as we pray in silence. Risen Savior, feed our faith with the message of your resurrection. Come to us in your word and in the feast of your sacrament to sustain and strengthen us until we feast with you in eternal glory.
Amen.
We gather our offering. We join in our next hymn, 471, Now All the Vault of Heaven Resounds. we embark upon the renovation of our church sanctuary, we pray for the Lord's blessing to be upon us. Please rise. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, our celebration of Christ's resurrection fills us with joy and hope, not only today, but each time we gather together in worship. Today we have been reminded of the victory which is ours in both the present and the future. In the coming weeks, we will begin an effort to renovate this sanctuary where we worship. We ask God to bless our efforts and guide us in faith as we go forward. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, you are the chief cornerstone of the church. You have promised to be with us wherever we gather in your name. Receive our praise and thanksgiving for the blessings, help, and comfort that you have bestowed upon your people in this house. Continue your many mercies to your church, that we may ever be aware of your unchanging love as for a time we depart this place of worship. Amen. I rejoice with those who said to me,
"Let us go to the house of the Lord."
Send me your light and your truth. Let them guide me.
Let them bring me to your holy mountain, to the place where you dwell.
How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty.
Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you.
Almighty and everlasting God, as we begin the work of renewing this place of worship, grant grace to all involved in its renovation. By your grace, see that the work is done well, that our support is offered with joy, and that this building may yet again be set apart for your gospel work, that your holy name, Emmanuel, may be worshipped in truth to all generations. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Please be seated as we sing our closing hymn 914, Christ is our cornerstone.
Thank you.
Once again, good morning to everyone. Glad to be with you today. Just a reminder, Easter breakfast will be served. That's going to take place in the School of Commons. Don't know where it is. If you leave and just keep going left down the stairs through the hallway, just follow your noses where all the food is. We look forward to seeing many of you there. Then also, next week, our worship might look a little bit different, but wherever God's word is preached, his sacraments are administered, there is the church. We are his church. To help prepare you for that, I know we showed you the video last week, but we are going to show the video next week, so answer some of the questions you might have.
I'm Dean Steingruber, and I serve as the chairman of the Forward Renovation Project. After 6 years of planning and preparation, we praise God that construction will begin in a matter of days on April 1st. As we embark on this project together, we thank God for his blessings and guidance throughout this effort. We thank the hundreds of members who attended visioning workshops and open forums, the volunteers who have tirelessly led and served on committees, and the volunteers who have already begun demolition of the basement youth area. In this video, we are sharing what you need to know as we kick off construction on April 1st. We thank God for bringing us to this point, and we pray that he continues to bless this project to his glory as we move forward.
I'm Todd Dvorak, and I represent Growth Design Group, the architectural team that's been working with you from the very beginning of the Forward project. As a Wells member at Historic St. Paul's in Appleton, I'm excited to see what's in store for our fellow members in New London. At Growth, we know the needs of congregations and communities change over time, while the truths of what we teach and where we stand stay the same. We've spent many months understanding the mission and vision of your church, and now we're excited to renovate your church to seamlessly blend a historic building to be a forward-thinking and accessible space. We've partnered with Meyer Construction on dozens of projects, and we're eager to be moving forward with Emmanuel.
I'm Ryan Krieger, and I'll be representing Meyer Construction as a project manager. Not only that, but I'm also a member here at Emmanuel. Meyer has successfully completed work on countless religious facilities over the years, and I feel very fortunate to have the opportunity to work on the Forward project right here at home. Come April 1st, you'll begin to see more and more members of the Meyer team hard at work, not only preserving the beauty of this church, but also enhancing the space for many years to come. Through lasting relationships like the ones we share with Emmanuel, we are afforded the opportunity to keep building within our community, and Team Meyer is beyond grateful for that. Working alongside Growth Design and the wonderful staff and volunteers here at the church, know that you are in good hands and that we're all really excited to get started.
Hi, I'm Kate Temple, and I serve as Staff Minister of Worship and Music here at Emmanuel. During the renovation project, worship will take place here in the school commons. The school stage will be set up as a reverent chancel area with pulpit, altar, and baptismal font. We will still celebrate the Lord's Supper every other week, and pastors will be wearing their albs and stoles. Everything will be printed for you in the bulletin so that you can follow along and worship confidently. Things may look a little different, but worship will feel familiar with well-loved hymns, liturgies, and prayers. While the location of worship is temporarily changing during construction, we are comforted by knowing that the Savior we worship and his powerful word and sacraments are eternal and never change. Our service schedule will be altered during the renovation. There will be no Monday night services. So you are invited to worship with us on Saturday nights at 5:15 p.m. or on Sundays at 8 o'clock and 10:30 a.m. We'll also continue our YouTube live stream, and you can tune into our radio broadcast every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock a.m. on 92.3 FM. If you've not done so already, we invite you to pick up the worship relocation pack on your way out of church today. It has all of the information you need to know. Grab a copy as you leave church, and please reach out to me or call the church office with any additional questions. We look forward to worshiping the risen Christ with you very soon.
The sanctuary is our school's biggest and most important classroom. The school faculty sees that this renovation is a tremendous blessing to the work you have called us to do, to train up the youth of our church and community in the saving faith of Jesus.
This project prioritizes Emmanuel's children and families, and we are excited to move forward.
Hi, I'm Ryan Nichols. As we begin construction, we praise God and thank Emmanuel's members for giving generously to this effort. Current project offerings and pledges have been 90% of our first phase goal. In fact, more than $2 million have already been received as construction is set to begin. Your financial support is still needed and appreciated. We're still looking for about $250,000 in additional gifts between now and dedication day at the end of 2024. Commitment cards are available at the Ford kiosk and at the church office. Thank you for your tremendous support.
Our campus is about to be very busy, and we want to give everyone the opportunity to get involved. First, volunteers are needed for three important work days, Monday, April 1st, Tuesday, April 2nd, and Wednesday, April 3rd. We'll have materials to move as the professionals prepare to get started on our job site. Volunteer any or all of these days between 8 a.m. and 3 p.m. We hope to see many workers there. Most important, we ask you to pray with us all throughout the project. Almighty God, keep our support strong. Keep our congregation united in hope. Keep all our workers safe. And keep pouring your blessings into this project.
As Emmanuel's pastors, we want our church members and the new London community to know that we are humbled and excited for this opportunity to restore our 100-year-old church building so that Christ may be praised and proclaimed in the generations yet to come.
Emmanuel means God with us. Ever since the very first Easter, the church has found confidence in Jesus' great promise and commission. Ever since our congregation's founding, we have trusted the same promise.
We thank God for guiding us throughout this process, and we pray that God will continue to bless this work and bless us with confidence in Him as He has in the past.
Emmanuel will be with us as we go forward.
Everyone have a blessed Easter. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Have a blessed day.